Lord, thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you that your presence is always with us. We ask that we would turn our hearts and our minds towards you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit. And Lord, I ask that anything that I say that is a message for us and is true today, you would apply it to our hearts. And anything I say that is not of you, we would forget forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So yesterday, my wife went shopping in Claremont. Someone told me that there was a 50% off all Christmas stuff at Hobby Lobby. I did not tell my wife about that sale until after she came home. But it seemed, I know, right? It's I need to repent. It seems like we have all these sales that come around at this time. If you see the ads in the newspapers, it looks like they're the same year after year. The commercials on TV are the same. You know, there's a 3-hour sale. You have to get there at this time or you're going to totally lose your opportunity at an incredible deal. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. How about the car dealerships at this time of year? Come on down. Anybody here a car salesman? No? All right, fair enough. We have special repentance for that. When you see these commercials and ads, you might feel a sense of urgency, and you might not even have realized you needed whatever it was they were advertising, but now you do. And you drop everything and you go. But sometimes I feel like, at least for myself, this advertising becomes less and less meaningful. It just washes over me. It's just this repeated message. We hear it every year. You know, it kind of gets stale. It gets old. And I wonder if there's anybody here today or any folks that we know for whom the real meaning of Christmas and the spiritual aspect of the message at this time, the truth about Christ, is something that we hear every year, and so it's just going over our heads. It's just floating past our ears. There's so much going on in our lives. There's so much going on in our kids' lives. It's just another Christmas. And we're going to make it through. So much talk about love and sharing and caring and singing and hugging and time for family, time for charity. And we hear all this. And I wonder if we're sort of overwhelmed with all of the sappy talk and the over-spiritualization during the month of December. This Sunday, we're looking at John the Baptist, and boy, is he a breath of fresh air into all of that. Okay, I couldn't get anybody to wear camel hair and come in today, but first of all, you know how hard it is to find camel hair? Yeah. It's a challenge. When you meet John the Baptist, you realize that the message is not an old, stale message. The message is a message that is eternal and is applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. John the Baptist was a different character, for sure. I mean, I've met some different characters in the backwoods of Vermont, and I think if there was a Vermont John the Baptist, it'd be an interesting individual. I don't think we'd see him in any of those sales at Hobby Lobby or J.C. that I just got glared at. We wouldn't see him in any of those sales at J.C. Penney. He wouldn't fit in clothing that didn't match what we would all be wearing. Leather belts, probably homemade, tied around his waist, all that camel hair. Instead of the Thanksgiving turkey, he'd have locusts and wild honey. You all might remember that Sunday when the kids all ate bugs. Right? Yeah, it's possible. You know, he probably would have done well on Survivor. Anybody watch that TV show? He wouldn't have lasted too long, though. They would have voted him off because he said things. His message challenged people. They didn't always like to hear it. He didn't use the sappy spiritual talk. He didn't use the cliches about giving and caring. He wouldn't try to sweet talk you into anything. Definitely not a politician. He's trying to match his words to whatever the opinion of the day is. He's a total breath of fresh air. He doesn't care what people think about him or what they say about him. And his message is one that hits us right in the heart. So what would it be like if John the Baptist was sitting across the kitchen table from you, or if he showed up at Brownsville Butchery Pantry and you were there having coffee at the counter? What would he say to you? What would he say to us? That's what we're looking at today on the second Sunday of Advent. We're getting there. There's two more candles to light, two more weeks before we come to Christmas. Advent is a journey that we're on together as a church. And John the Baptist has a message for us in this journey. It's one word: to repent. It's often said that the season of Advent is comparable to the season of Lent in some ways. It's a time of some contemplation and some inward looking. You know, as we look towards the remembering the first coming of Christ and we await his second coming, we ask the question, are we ready? Are we ready to meet Jesus face to face? Are we ready to see him coming in the clouds? And I haven't arrived yet. I don't know if some of you have already attained perfection, but not yet for me. And there's still repentance that needs to happen. And that is the message of John the Baptist. Scripture says, and so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance. He would say, repent. Only it wasn't that quiet. It was more like, repent! He was lifting up his voice so people could hear him. John would say, you're not perfect. There's something that you need to do differently. There's something that I need to do differently. And it's time to change. I don't know about you, but when people tell me I need to change, I get a little bit irritated. Has that ever happened for you? You think, what does this person know? I'm fine the way I am. I work hard. I take care of my personal responsibilities. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay. That's the problem. We're not perfect. God calls us to holiness. He says, be holy, for I am holy. And we can't be perfect in and of ourselves, but we can walk in the grace of the gift of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin and our wrongdoing. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That is the message of Christmas and the reason why Jesus has come. This is why John is saying, repent. Scripture says that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sin. So part of repentance is actually recognizing that sin is real and that we have committed sin. Where have we been less than perfect in our lives? Look back on our conversations, on the way we've dealt with people around us. Think about our relationship with God. Think about our thoughts, perhaps. Where have we been less than perfect? We need to recognize the sin and confess it to Christ. After recognizing it and we confess, we need to receive the forgiveness of God. Scripture, in talking about John, says the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. God forgives us our imperfections because of Christ. Our sins are gone. He holds no grudge. He keeps no record of wrongs. He forgives you completely. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget? Maybe you've said that. Maybe you have reason to be in that place in your life. God forgives you completely when you repent. The people that came out to John received God's forgiveness through the sacrament of baptism. we receive the same forgiveness when we repent and we ask to come back into fellowship with the Spirit of God. The next thing that's part of repentance is reforming our lives. When we sin and repent, but then keep on sinning, there's no amendment of life, no amendment of ways. One begins to ask if there was true repentance. To repent is to turn 180 degrees away and walk in the opposite direction from what we were doing or thinking or engaging in. This means that after you've been forgiven for being so impatient with your neighbor, you become patient with them again. After you've been forgiven for having a bad temper, the Holy Spirit of God gives you new fruit, and you turn away from that. After you've been forgiven for being greedy, maybe you become generous. After you've been forgiven for disobeying God and for making excuses, you begin to obey God and want to follow Him, not because you have to, but because you want to. So this final three R's of repentance, I don't know if you've been catching them, when your life is reformed, it's when it's changed, it's when it looks different. As people that are following Christ, we should look different from the world around us. And people should wonder what is going on in that person's life that made them respond this way, because anybody else I know would have responded like this. So how do we do this? How do we find the courage to confess our sins to the Lord? How do we know we're actually forgiven? Where can we find strength to change and to actually reform our lives? John the Baptist would say to us, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." Back then, that was a giant slave. John says, "I'm not even worthy to do that. Someone is coming, someone greater than you, greater than I. He is the one who will give you the courage to confess your sins to God. He is the one who will take all of those sins away. He is the one who will strengthen you and will change you into a new person, a new creation." John said, "I will baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Someone greater, someone more powerful, more compelling, more amazing than anyone who has ever lived. That someone is coming. He will demonstrate His power in all kinds of ways, His miracles, His resurrection, His gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and His gift of the Holy Spirit in faith and hope and love to you. So I want to invite us to have our Christmas preparation be a time that is filled with more than just advertising and empty cliches. Caring for one another, reaching out to our neighbors, loving our family, and spending time with family and friends are all very important things, not just for Christmas, but for all different times of year. But these things can't be truly enjoyed or carried out until we first understand that Christmas is a time for repentance and a time for Christ. It's a time to rejoice that someone has come that's greater than even John the Baptist, greater than you, greater than me. Someone has come who brings real meaning to this time of year. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.